And yet, the standard of living for that particular person has gone down. And the likelihood of them being a long-term career is almost zero.
Probably spending as we speak.
We did it for ourselves.
Do you have anybody online?
I'm not even sure what units they are.
Well, why don't we get started? We have nobody online. Tom Maloney was supposed to call in from Seattle. And somebody from the department was supposed to call in Juneau, but they're not there. Got the two co-chairmen here to my right. With your permission, because we're kind of in the middle of several drafts and pieces of paper, if you'd let me go through it, what we want to do is just go through the recommendations in their various stages and see what we're going to keep, what we're going to discard, and what we're going to change. Last week's meeting, we went through a package of recommendations on the state equipment fleet. And those were supposed to have been emailed to you. Did you receive them?
Yep.
Okay. Did they look okay to everybody? I wanted to make sure that as I recast them, they came out the way the committee did. So we don't need to go over those, but we do have, Amy's making a copy of the state equipment fleet recommendations. And a final copy. I want to give everybody a copy when she brings it in, okay? Tape is running. All right.
I'm not happy with mine, but we can cover that later.
We'll have with your...
way it's being presented here.
Okay, let's take it. Which one is it? What piece of paper are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Commission on Privatization and Delivery of Government Services document.
Okay. And then...
there's 25 recommendations.
Okay, we're starting off with, the way this is, so as you understand, this number 11 is Roman numeral 11. In the overall report, Roman numeral 11 is the part where we have the recommendations. And then however many recommendations we're going to have will be subsumed under Roman numeral 11. And what number are you talking about, Steve?
I have...
Is it in here?
Yeah. I have two of them in here that I want to talk about.
All right. Well, we're going to go through all of them. Why don't we just do it
in order if you want.
Order, if that's okay. I hope yours are at the end so you don't leave early on. Okay, number one. And Spence, as soon as Andre gets back, he'll give you a copy of what we're working from here, if you didn't get it by email. Did you bring the one we sent by email?
I think so.
Okay.
286 pages of 19.
I don't know. We have so much paper going through our office, all I can see is force.
This is Spruce Park Beatles down in your office.
So we're at Roman numeral 11, and the first item... So the report makes no recommendations on the following divisions. And we may want to go ahead and make a recommendation on some of these. None of these are cast in concrete. For example. International Airport. We just really never got around to it. And Marine Highway System, we didn't get a report. And we'll just have to tell the Commission we didn't.
I'll make a comment on the International Airport. And if you look at other international airports and other communities, they're operated by port authorities, not by private entities, public service. And I don't know that actually... would be possible to privatize the operations at the international airport. There are a lot of things. I think they already do contract, but I think they're almost a complete agency themselves. And to go through Anchorage International Airport and the revenue fund and try and figure out how you can save money on the revenue fund is a little bit like, but not quite like, the state equipment fleet, in that the carriers pick up most of the costs for operations at the the airport, and they actually have oversight of that budget in the legislature. So I don't know how that could work, what recommendations we could make.
Well, we just didn't address it. I mean, there's no sense in speculating on it. We didn't get to address it, so we just say we didn't do it. And I tend to agree with you. There isn't much there. I mean, they have an engineering section, I suppose, that they could probably privatize. But unless we really get into it, there's no sense in speculating. It isn't that big an operation in terms of the number of employees out there. I don't think you want to privatize runway maintenance. It's not the same as the highway. So we just didn't have a committee address it, and we're going to leave it at that. Are there any of these other agencies or programs that we're mentioning that we did not make recommendations on, you think we should make a recommendation on, that you want to take a look into a little bit further? Statewide aviation.
On measurements and measurement standards, isn't that where Henry, maybe you can help me out here. On measurement standards in DOT, isn't that where they do all the instrument calibrations and testing of, or the instrument testing things are located?
No, that used to be the optic shop, and they got rid of that.
Okay.
The weights and measure steel is strictly now, that was the old section that came out of Commerce, was to certify scales.
Okay.
Yeah, it does the scales
pumps,
and
you know, gas pumps and all that type of stuff.
Meters.
That's not what I was thinking.
On the marine highway system, I'm going to change that wording to indicate also we review it. I don't want to say that the privatization is well underway because, number one, I don't believe it. And that is something that is such a huge issue that if you can't get into it and do it right, you're better off not going into it.
Marco, may I suggest that maybe what we put down behind marine highway system is that the marine highway system is the importance of consideration of efficiency and privatization would warrant more investigation, study, and some way to phrase that so that it leaves it open.
Will you draft that for me?
I will draft that for
okay.
you.
Marco, what piece of paper are you looking at there?
Okay, you have this report here, and we're on
next,
the next page back.
What do you think we have?
We've got 11, phone number 11, recommendation, rationale, and barriers.
Huh. Well,
she took some stuff. She's going to go back.
We'll go run off.
Well, here's recommendation for section 5.
Yeah, that's the one, yep.
Henry, do you have it?
Yeah, that's the same
page
one.
Page 2 of 9 on my document.
Yeah,
we don't have
it. Yeah, page 2 of 9 is what I have, and in recommendations, rationale, and barriers. Roman numeral 11.
Different. Obsolete.
Good, then I'll draft the language for the Marine Highway System.
Chairman, I'd also like to drop the internal review section there. At the end, it's got, but it is not likely that significant savings will result. I'd like to drop that particular portion. Anybody's examined whether there's significant savings.
I think they agree with that. That's completely speculative and not necessarily true, and might not be the way that I would speculate it either. So.
I've talked to the guys in the section. They've already told me that's the way a lot of states are going, is privatizing. But anyway, we haven't gone into that, so that particular portion I'd like to drop.
I
I don't know if I'm going to write a sheet of music or not. I printed this one this morning. Okay, I'll just use that. Thank you. There you have it, Sam.
How about, Frank, you got the right one? Sam, you got the right one?
I think so. I got the email copy.
Is there in the corner?
No. Doesn't it came off of the email?
Who we have online from Juneau?
This is Llewellyn Lachansky from Senator John Torgerson's office.
Hi, Llewellyn. That's you. That would be Kenai?
No, I'm in the Juneau.
Juneau. Okay. Is anybody from the Department of Transportation there?
No, I'm the only person in the room.
Oh, okay. Llewellyn, do you have a copy of the handout?
No, I don't.
When Andrea gets back, I'll ask her to fax it. Down to you. What is the, you're at the LIO or at your office?
I'm at the LIO.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, the items that listed there that we're not going to make a recommendation on, the only change is going to be Frank's going to come up with some additional language.
While you were gone, we discussed, and I think the recommendation is a good one, that under internal review,
mm-hmm.
that the period be put at services, because since that really wasn't analyzed, the likelihood or not of significant savings there is kind of speculative.
You're talking about internal review as opposed to external review. I mean, internal.
It's all within the same section.
True, but let me. My point is that. Is that you want the departments to maintain some kind of internal review capability, right?
I don't particularly think it's a good idea because it's not independent.
All right.
They have to have a review function, I agree.
They have an internal review function, and there's external review functions by the private audit firms and LBNA and so forth, but we don't want to deprive them of the ability to go in and check up on themselves and make improvements based on their own management.
We're talking about if they can contract out those services as opposed to doing it with employees.
Okay.
A great deal.
But these are things that we're not looking at. So. If you want to address it on the flip side, we can put something in there.
A great deal, a majority of what that section does is not internal. A great deal of what that section does is not internal.
Okay.
But let me just be clear here. The only thing we're considering changing is, but it is not likely that significant savings will result. Leave, while not analyzed in this report, there may be some opportunity for contracting the internal review services. Now, we're not addressing it, so it just leaves it neutral. The only thing it doesn't do is if I read this as a recommendation, I'd say, well, that's not worth looking at because it's not going to result in any savings. Well, it may not result in any direct savings, but it may be more efficient to contract out the internal review portion of it. I don't know. Maybe we're wordsmithing this already too much. Since it's not going to be a recommendation, does it make any difference?
That's my point.
Let's leave it to this. We'll
take that out.
We'll just, We'll just direct the staff to make a decision on whether to leave it or not. But it was...
Okay, we'll take that phrase out. Okay.
Okay.
All right, the last paragraph on the page. Oh, Tom Maloney is on. Tom, do you have your paperwork with you, or do you want us to fax you a copy?
Yes, I do have whatever we had. I apologize for being late, but I called the minute I got to the hotel.
Okay. What we're looking at this point is the page that's numbered 2 of 9. It has Roman numeral 11 on the top, and it says recommendations, rationale, and barriers.
Okay.
Excuse me, this is Llewellyn and Juno. Nancy Slagle from the department has joined me.
Okay. Llewellyn and Nancy, we have just faxed to you. I think Nancy, you got it anyway, but we just are faxing down there a copy of what we're working from here.
Marco, because again, what I have isn't necessarily page numbered. Is this the... Oh, okay, wait, I'm under the privatization recommendations. That was under design and construction section. That's not what you're looking at.
No, it's a few would be a few pages back, Tom.
Okay.
From the very beginning.
Do you have a fax there, Tom?
There's not one in the room.
Okay.
I'll just sit and listen if I can't find it.
I think you have, because we emailed it to you, you have what we have, except maybe the pagination is different.
Okay.
Trying to work on this document all week. So at this point, we're looking at the prefatory paragraphs at the bottom of page 2 of 9.
Oh, the bottom of page 2 of 9. Oh, okay. I believe I do have that.
Okay.
Before we get to that, Marco, I don't quite understand construction and CIP support. There's no significant opportunities for increasing efficiency by contract any portion of this BRU. Am I missing something or misreading? I mean, that's a huge field.
Yeah, but we didn't get into the CIP budget. This is supposed to be an operating by statute, by Senate Bill 33.
Yeah, but construction is definitely, well, it's, okay. You leave that with the maintenance activity. I think we should point that out. That's misleading, you know.
Yeah, so I would take that paragraph out altogether.
Yeah, just leave it out. It's not pertinent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I would agree with that, because right now it's somebody saying, oh, look, there's no use looking at construction and CIP. They couldn't find anything.
Yeah, without the background information as to why you're not looking at it, it would be...
Just leave it out.
Yeah. It's similar to what was my concern under the internal review.
And I guess, as long as Rebecca, when I look at measurement standards again, I'm not comfortable saying that there are no opportunities for efficiency or privatization, anything we didn't look at.
Right.
So I think we'll just say that these BRUs, or these, whatever they are,
we're not examining.
We're not making...
Quite simply, that one.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Otherwise, it does sound like we've drawn a conclusion, and we really haven't.
Okay, and the second paragraph, under the prefatory material.
Beginning with all of these recommendations.
All of these recommendations. I don't know that this is kind of an editorial opinion, and at least for maintenance and operations, I agree with it, but I don't know that we need to have it here, and I'm not looking to raise or put a red flag in front of anybody.
I guess the reason, and I wrote this, and the reason that I put it in there was in light of some of the commissioner's comments about not clearing certain roads in the spring because of the lack of budget, and also capping the municipality of Anchorage snow haul to $600,000. At that point, the snow haul from the state of Alaska stops.
I think, Sam, one of the things there in that regard, though, is that there is always going to be prioritization. You couldn't throw enough money at this to handle everything, so you're going to have to prioritize no matter what, too, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
What I would propose is, and I probably want to go through this quicker than you all do, but I'd like to just remove that paragraph. I don't want to get into the subject of whether the legislature should provide a larger budget for any particular part of DOT, whether it's M&O or that's really not what they're asking us to do. If this comes up in the terms of specifically considering whether we should privatize a function or not, and it's appropriate to mention in that context, maybe we should do it.
Well, one thing we might consider is just is deleting everything after the word infrastructure. And the reason I would say that is that we already have a report from a commission that was done on studying maintenance in the state that clearly showed that there's an inadequate amount of funding that's being put into maintenance and operations. And I don't know if that again, I would also say that probably doesn't make any difference if we delete this. We don't want to throw up any sort of a red flag, but all of the recommendations are provided to assist the department in providing state services to the state. The general fund budget is currently inadequate to provide for maintenance and operations of the basic infrastructure. Does anyone disagree with that?
I'll disagree with it because I know there are things that we don't know about maintenance and operations.
Okay.
For example,
that's a good point. In fact,
well,
that is a good point.
Yeah. For example, in my experience, we gained a lot of productivity in my time there by changing the crew complement size. We had, and I don't remember what the equipment configuration was exactly, but we were sending out 6 and 7 pieces of equipment with 8 and 9 employees when we could have been doing it with 5 pieces of equipment and 5 or 6 employees. And then changing the, as Meisham just did here in the city with the police, changing the work schedules from, at that time, I think we put them on 4-day weeks, but included Saturday and Sunday as regular non-overtime work days. And so we had the same kind of coverage 7 days. There are a lot of things that management could do to increase productivity that aren't necessarily being done.
No, and of course, what I was looking at is a little different perspective on it in the fact that we really have no money appropriated for road maintenance. So obviously, if you're not putting up any money for road maintenance and the roads are wearing out, you've got an inadequate funding situation. What you're looking at is how are we spending the funding we've got. So I would agree that that's probably best left out.
And I'll give you another insight. When I was at DOT, I established a program maintenance plan. So you could track your cost to every facility. You divide a Tudor road up into 2 different parts, and every time an employee or piece of equipment or a ton of sand was put down on that road, it was coded to that facility. So at the end of a period of time, you could tell how much money was being spent on that facility. The troops hated it because it introduced a level of accountability that they weren't quite comfortable with. And that disappeared soon after I left DOT. But there are things that you should be able to tell whether or not you're running an efficient operation. The fact that you're not doing it doesn't make me want to go and increase their budget. It makes me want to go and put the tools in place to get better accountability. So I'm not comfortable saying that the budget's inadequate.
Actually, you're shortchanging yourselves. It didn't do a maybe. They still got a system where cost accounting goes to route and maintenance station, so you can, they know by mile, the milepost in the timesheet, what the expenditures
still do
are.
Yeah.
They still,
I inquired out there a couple months ago, and they said, no, we don't do that.
They just won't tell you they're doing that. Or whoever you asked didn't know they were doing
that.
Marked
on the timesheet,
yeah.
Said they posted man hours.
The only thing I've ever seen related to that are general figures, though. You know, I think you'd have to pull.
Well, materials and that stuff get spread to the station. They don't assign it to a specific milepost, but the normal routine equipment and man hours get charged out to stations and activities.
Yeah, that's correct.
No,
There's another more fundamental thing, too, and probably philosophical view of that, and that is that you can determine to some degree the timing and the amount of maintenance, actually maintenance on a road, by how much you spend in the beginning. If you do a mediocre job and figure in 5 years you're going to have to come back in and fix it, that's one thing. That impacts maintenance and operations. So the capital budget and how you spend it can impact M&O pretty dramatically.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get us off on a tangent here, but the thrust of my objection to the language is simply that it doesn't directly bear on the privatization question. And I've introduced this other information to show that there are other things that might be done. But
let me ask Sam, does it fundamentally change the thrust of what you wanted to get across if that's not in here?
No, and I guess one of the things that I was trying to make a point on was just that the opportunities for privatization in the Department of Transportation are limited to a small amount of funding compared to the whole operation.
And I think that point is one that has to be made, because, again, people see the $650 million figure there and can't figure out why we couldn't come up with $50 million worth of savings. And they don't understand that we're really dealing with $100 million, and if we can find $5 million worth of savings, it's a pretty good stick. So maybe we could rework the language of that. Would you agree with that, Marco, that if that was the intent of this, is to just simply say that be constrained by the privatization commission's purview, we don't look at the whole budget? Too complicated.
Well, in some cases we kind of did, but the actual savings through privatization to the legislature are going to be limited to maintenance operations. But the other components of this legislation are looking for government efficiencies, and there are a couple of points in here where we do discuss DFC efficiencies.
That direction you're talking about doesn't, I just don't relate to it, I guess, as being... But, you know, it's the will of the committee. I'm just telling you how I'm telling you my opinionated self. But if you want to keep it in there, we can keep it in there. I'll just go ahead and make a...
We decided to delete the paragraph, and I didn't hear that was your real objection to it. What we're really looking at now is the next paragraph. I'm sorry we jumped ahead. And that, I think what Sam was trying to do there is make the point that there was only so much that we could look at in this privatization effort towards efficiencies at DOT, and it wasn't the majority of the money.
Yeah, I like this paragraph.
Yeah. With only $100 million to work with decreases, you know. And it does create a, you know, even if we eliminated the entire $100 million, it's still a relatively limited amount in terms of the total general fund and the appropriations involved in it. So,
Frank, I'm guessing, though, the state equipment fleet is an integral part of and an additional on top of that. I mean, if you were to privatize M&O, it wouldn't be just the $100 million. It would be also a lot of the state equipment fleet. I mean, talking about a pretty significant number when you throw that into the mix.
As part of it is in there, and that is the part that the users paid of the working capital fund from CIS department. That's in there.
Yeah.
But the replacement cost and the revenue they generate, that's not in it. And other users, like state troopers or fishing game, is not in there either. That's just the DOT payment to the working capital fund that's in there.
Which even makes it more complicated to try to express in a relatively brief report what we're talking about. But does anyone object to that no. This paragraph? I mean, I don't see any problem with that. At least if it raises a question when this report is read about what we're talking about there, then it'll provide an opportunity for further explanation.
Well, you know, one of the things, this is Tom Lane, one of the things in general that you can do on any report is right up front, you put down what your scope of your review was. And the scope of review primarily excluded everything regarding, you know,
executive. I'm assuming the executive summary would contain something to that.
Yes.
That respect.
that would point out perhaps that the savings would be a reflection of an accumulation from a variety of sources, conceivably. Right.
Right, and have, you know, affect other budgets.
Exactly.
Does that make sense, Marco? Leave that paragraph?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, highways and aviation.
Okay, the recommendation here says to look at the federal Department of Defense model. Looking at the model, do we want to recommend privatization of the maintenance of certain roads and streets under DOT, or don't we? The fact that there is, it's being done at Elmendorf, and we have copies of the contract that I think you provided, Jerry, and is an argument to show that it can be done, but I wanted to go further with this recommendation because I just thought looking at a federal model doesn't do enough.
We need to look at the Canadian model.
Look at all models.
Exactly.
Look at all
this
models and examples.
This is just a sample.
Let's change this to say just simply say look at all models and examples, including.
Right.
Well, the next thing is on the recommendations is about a pilot project. I guess the question is if you want to have a singular pilot project or if you'd like to have, you know, more than one. Everybody can look at everything in the world, but I guess, you know, you're not going to prove it to people till you show them that you demonstrate that you're doing something and that, you know, it's either better or worse or whatever your conclusion is.
Frank, one of my concerns on that, selecting a small remote site for the possibility of trying this, I have a concern because of our experience with the municipality. The municipality of Anchorage, for a number of years, it started about 7 or 8 years ago, I think 10 years ago, maybe, with what they called miscellaneous construction services contracts, which were $500,000 to $700,000 contracts, very much in the order of this military model or whatever, to basically be doing the maintenance. That they didn't want to put out to public bid. The timing was such or whatever, it made it more efficient to handle it that way. We had that contract, our company did, for, oh gosh, 4 or 5, 6 years. We did the bulk of it. And it was fine because they were putting it out in reasonably sized chunks. We could devote a superintendent and a project manager to that because it was a substantial enough size that we could do it. Usually we had two going at one time. My concern now, what's happened is that they've gotten back to smaller ones, little bitty projects. We can't afford to put a superintendent in charge of it, have any consistency. You can't put a project manager, and as a result, I think the project has suffered. We don't even bid it anymore because it isn't worth having. Now, I can see that as being a problem in this. If we make it too small, you're not going to get the attention, and it's going to be a bad example that can be done.
The problem with that is who decides which project you're going to use as a demonstration project.
Yeah.
You pick one that's going to fail.
Let me back up for just 1 second here. Under rationale, did anyone have problems with the rationale there? Because there is, that's something you need to look at. I prefer before we move on. Is that all right, Mark? This portion
of
the rationale.
Well, starting with the sentence, a possible roadblock, I would just take the rest of that paragraph and move it down under barriers. And then I wonder if to go above that sentence, if there isn't some additional rationale. But the rationale depends on what the actual recommendation is. And what we're looking for are some categorical sentences, some action sentences for these recommendations so that no one is uncertain about what it is you want to recommend.
Because my providing of the model was more to just say, if we determine that this is a good direction to go, an advisable direction to go, here is a possible model, that's all. So I think your point's well taken.
Okay, can we say the Federal Department of Defense and many others?
You can say Alberta, and you can say
and
British
others,
Columbia.
Other states.
Yes. Countries and states.
Other states.
Because North Carolina, Washington, D.C., this federal structure.
Provinces and countries have been in the process of privatizing many operational functions.
Well,
the department is encouraged to review programs implemented by
these entities.
By
Well, let me back up a little bit. Where it starts off with look at, why don't we say use
okay.
these models? Because with the way the recommendation is phrased now, we're leaving it to the department to make the recommendation, and they're not gonna recommend it. You know they're not. So if you want to recommend, and I'm asking you, if you want to recommend privatization
use.
Of road, say you want to recommend
right.
Privatization using these as a model.
No. Let's just put recommendations. Use all models and examples, including the Federal Department of Defense model of privatization, comma, to determine what maintenance operations in DOT should be dropped reasonably, because we're assuming it will only be reasonably contracted to the private sector. Does that seem okay? And then follow it. And I agree that under barriers, if we move that down, is that still maintain the intent for what, you know, because I think it's a great way, the word for that is a good one. It's bold.
All right, tell me, do we have any more we can put in for rationale there? Is there another line of argument for rationale? Why would you want to privatize?
Okay, both efficiencies and cost savings will result.
Is it a view of the committee that the efficiencies and the economies could be a result of privatization?
Well, they will be. I mean, it won't be done. In other words, when they look at the models, in other words, and they transfer from this model to the DOD and they put it over on the DOT, and it's going to have to show the savings. And if it does, then that's why they're going to do it. Now, if they come back in, and we wouldn't recommend that they come back in and increase the cost just to put it into private hands. We may want to, in our particular business interest, do that, but we're not going to, as a commission, I don't believe, say, let's do this because it'll be privatized and not part of government, even though it's going to cost more money. Now, we have the other part of this, too, and I know I could see Jerry's wheel spinning. It may cost more up front to do something, and in the long term save the citizens money. And that's the policy decision that'll have to be made further down the road.
Okay, but given a fair chance, just elimination of redundancy, take administration alone, accounting.
Demand that the first project that they pick demonstrate this saving, okay?
That's where the segue into this number two here under recommendation pilot project. Let's just put... can we come up with something there that would say select a project that will translate the savings provided by privatization using the examples from existing jurisdictions? Okay, we look at some place that's privatized some road maintenance or something. We figure out how they did it. We pick a project in this state that meets the general criteria for that, and I'm thinking maybe something like the Dalton Highway. Okay, the Dalton Highway itself, it's got maintenance stations. It's got a variety of problems that are unique to the Dalton Highway. Maybe there's a road somewhere that is maintained in Canada or in BC that's similar to that. And they go ahead and they say, yes, this will be more cost efficient to do it in private hands, and that becomes the project. May be another road. I mean, let's give DOT at least the latitude there to pick a section of road somewhere that may make sense, even though it may not be remote.
And of a size to where the successful private contractor that's going to be doing it can really gear up to do a proper job.
I envision where it could be the new Seward Highway.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, make it substantial enough. But,
Is that
so? I guess one way to change that recommendation.
Remote, but no, but that's what I mean. Eliminate the remote because there's no real. I don't think there's any reason to define it as remote. I'd like to see it even done where it was a higher profile thing.
Pilot project would privatize responsibilities of a road maintenance station or route.
That's substantial enough for
those. Select a project that shows a positive cost benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Tom Loney. I think one of the things, at least when I hear about people with snow plowing and other maintenance things, that that one of the things they look for is that the level of service they believe when they contract out is higher. In other words, they're not waiting for the 72 hours or whatever the municipality of Anchorage says that they're going to get around to snow plowing. If it snows that night, it's done that morning. So I think one of the things we have to look at is what are the service provisions that, you know, if there's an improved service and not just on the cost side of things also.
I think that would be, like I say, that would be part of that contracting process, and it might be, you know, we could certainly write contracts that, Tom, nobody could bid on because the expectations would be too high.
Right.
On the other hand, we can write a contract so that it actually does show a cost savings and an increase in efficiency that a private sector person would bid on. And that's the kind of give and take I would envision the department's going to have to engage in, because we would be saying choose one that's going to be a winner.
Right.
In other words, don't go out and choose one that's going to prove the negative on this. We want you to be up front and choose one that's going to show a cost savings. And if they can't find any, then at least it allows somebody to review that and say, no, your parameters for establishing this were wrong. You know, it doesn't allow them, and it also invests them when the fact comes up that they say, okay, here's the project, this will save some money, and they go ahead with it. They are now vested with really trying to make the thing successful in order to verify the fact that their selection process was a good one.
Yeah.
Because the remote thing bothered me, because if some guy's going to have to go out and acquire a bunch of equipment, snow plowing equipment, for a remote job, he's not able to use. I think we have a tremendous concentration of equipment in major areas in the state.
Well, I like this.
One of the things I might add is some of this is happening at no cost to the state, and I think it might be short term, but my understanding is that there are some of these remote roads that aren't anticipated for clearing in the spring that the tour companies generate a lot of revenue on, and my understanding is the tour companies are not waiting for the state. They're going to go out and plow that road in the spring so they can get their boats in and they can get their buses out.
We've done that on the Dalton Highway for years, where the contractors themselves will simply clear the road because we can't wait an extra week or two. And again, it's not because maybe DOT doesn't desire to open the road. They just don't have the equipment or the availability to do it. And if we had to wait on them, it becomes more cost ineffective than actually somebody moving the equipment down from Dead Horse and clearing the road so we'd get things going again. That's a good point, you know, and I mean that, that's one of those things that's a danger in this too, is we don't want to allow the state to start shifting these costs too much to the private sector without when they are government responsibilities.
So number two reads privatize a road maintenance station. Is that right?
And or route maintenance, road maintenance on a route.
By the way, I guess one other limitation is that we don't know what, if any, union agreements may preclude anything that we're talking about.
No, and up in the first recommendation, when we talk about the possible roadblock and put that into a barrier, it does talk about the future contracts being negotiated because of types of clauses like that would preclude it.
Right.
So I think that was well thought through as far as covering that goes.
Yeah, well, I think that's just one of those overall things as far as our scope of review that, any of these things may be outside what have been negotiated agreements.
Somewhere in here, I'm thinking we should put, the department should do this in conjunction with the advice of the industry, you know, in terms of the sizing of the area.
Again, I think they're kind of forced into that if it's got to be a successful project. They've got to come to somebody like Jerry, and they've got to open this thing up.
I would recommend.
Work with the AGC.
As opposed to an individual contract.
Yeah.
I'll work
in conjunction with
yeah, consultation with the AGC.
With private industry, the AGC and private industry. Yeah. You look into joint operation agreements in municipalities that have multiple entities performing the same function. And the rationale for doing that.
Let's look at this a little bit. Sam, what's this is from Glenn Glenzer's report, I assume, right?
That and some of the discussion that took place, basically saying that a lot of there's overlap in services, that there are several different entities, several municipalities that are performing the same function. And I think he actually cited a 94 municipality report.
I believe it was, and it was where there was an attempt made in the municipality to come to some sort of joint operating agreement that would take all the road maintenance and put it under the municipality. And that was something that was vehemently protested by the unions involved because of problems in the different contracts, which again is I think the rationale for this is the important part of it. I think they do need to be looked into. I think we're constrained, and I can't believe that you can't negotiate those contracts so they can blend.
Right. So they're going to look into them and say, okay, we looked into them. Now we're going to continue as we always
now,
have.
You were right.
What do we really want to happen as a result of their looking into it?
How about eliminate?
Eliminate redundancy.
Eliminate joint operation agreements in municipalities that have multiple entities
right.
performing the same
That's
function.
A recommendation.
Rather than look into it, eliminate it. Now, if they can't eliminate it, they again have to come back and say, we can't eliminate this because it's going to be unpleasant. You know, or we can't eliminate this because they'll be mad at us. Or we can't eliminate this because federal law won't allow it. Okay, I mean, there's...
Right. So say eliminate joint operations in municipalities or other areas that have multiple entities performing the same function. Is that correct?
Then would the goal be that, looking from DOT's standpoint, transferring the responsibilities to those local entities?
Be one way to do it. It leaves the options up to them. You know, they could take it all over themselves. Come into Anchorage and say, look, eliminate your public works department, street maintenance, we'll take it all. It's not going to happen, but I mean, that would be one of those things they could consider, right?
Rather than eliminate, do you want combined? Just combined joint operation agreements in municipalities and multiple entities?
I think you should eliminate the joint operation.
Okay, yeah,
I think you should eliminate that and it becomes one.
Yeah,
and actually,
eliminate
or scratch agreements and say eliminate joint operations
that's right.
in municipalities that have multiple entities
Perfect.
Performing the same functions.
So, Reeves, eliminate joint operations in municipalities that have multiple entities, municipalities or other areas.
Or other entities.
Yeah.
That have multiple entities performing the same function. Addison says DOTPUF shall negotiate a single service provider or something like that, or we need to not.
Don't think you need to because they don't have any choice.
Okay. Well, that's a good categorical sentence. Okay, what's our rationale?
I like that one. The rationale: municipalities such as Juneau, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and others have an overlap in services. The department should look.
Should.
We'll look into combining resources.
We'll combine resources.
Yeah, okay. Such that one entity will be responsible for maintenance within the community boundaries. And then I don't have any problem with presumably it would be the municipality or other governmental.
Or private.
But that'd be the choice.
Responsibility would be with the municipality.
The privatized would become the muni's responsibility. This would potentially, this would free up resources to the state to focus on major highways. Or could.
Okay, well, that sounds good to me. Now, what do you think the barrier here is, other than local resistance to incur additional cost?
Union agreements.
union agreements. Anything else?
Mark, why is the local resistance? The resistance, as I understand it, is that there's inadequate funding being the money that the state is currently spending on maintaining roads in Anchorage are not sufficient in the Muni's view to do that work. Is that correct? The reason they don't want it?
No, that's part in there. You see, even if the roads are brought up, this is the way it's been explained to me and what happened in the 90, I think, 5 or 6, even when the roads are brought up to a good standard and the road is in good shape, the problem is the municipality can't put its crew on that road because the labor agreement precludes the abandonment of that task by the state. So even if they wanted to and the money was available, the labor agreement interferes. Now, they're going to have to always come to this idea, what's reasonable when we take it over? In other words, they're not, their desire on the municipality side is going to be have it all rebuilt, all landscaped, all in perfect shape before they take it over. And the DOT is going to say, no, we've got it in good shape, and this is as good a shape as it's ever been in, and now you need to take it over. Somebody's going to have to bite the bullet and simply say, at this point, you're going to take it over. And there will be this business of people probably in some areas having to pay more money to maintain it because the money's not going to be available from these other sources like the savings accounts that are subsidizing the activity right now.
This leaves open the question as to whether or not the money the state is spending within, say, the city of Anchorage, whether that money would be transferred to the city of Anchorage or there would actually be a shortfall. Is that what you were driving at?
Exactly.
Exactly.
We don't address that here. Nope. I don't know if you want to.
I don't think we should. Do
but
you?
That's where the resistance, I understood, was coming from, because the municipality didn't want to take on the financial burden.
So the reason that is because of municipal assistance revenue sharing, the city then would receive a certain amount, and I think
on a lane mile
$750
basis.
A lane mile,
yeah.
But $750 a lane mile in Anchorage doesn't get an eighth of the road plowed.
They do get some increase in their revenue sharing for taking on that responsibility.
In the end, they're fighting over taxpayer dollars in any case, both entities.
Yeah, and like I said, it's money right now that whether it's $400 million or $1 billion, is coming out of savings. We're not generating that revenue on a regular basis. In Anchorage here, we probably need to pay a local fuel tax for road maintenance.
Exactly, yes.
We probably do. Not for trail, landscape. But for road maintenance.
Under the rationale, I'll make some comment about noting a slight increase in revenue sharing because of the formula, the elements of the formula.
I think there is. Senator Torgerson did in the past have some legislation in to actually work on the municipal assistance revenue sharing side of transferring roads to local communities. I think his legislation might actually still be out there.
I think it is.
Yeah, Llewellyn, you know about that?
I didn't follow that bill, but I believe it's still out there.
I think it is too, Llewellyn. I think that was something that the senator is interested in, and it may provide an avenue here for us to make some headway on this one.
Do you know what that bill number is, by any chance?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
I forget. We'll make some reference to it. Anyway, okay. All right. Number 4. Transfer responsibility of maintenance of non-national highway system roads to local communities.
Very much like number 3.
To a degree, but it would also include smaller communities that might only be using the state for that service.
I've got no, this one, I didn't have any.
Well, there's no joint agreements involved.
Right, I didn't have any problems with this one at all. As the recommendation or the rationale.
How about barriers?
Well, see, again.
Big barrier on that one, in my estimation, would be the inadequate revenue sharing for the community to actually do that. The alternative is the community would actually have to pick up the cost of that with their own budget.
Well, and this is one of those deals that's real tough because then people will say, well, the community doesn't have a tax base to do that. Then the other argument of that is, well, then why is it a community?
But I think there is a certain level of subsidy that we have, and I think
we always will have.
The department will actually, or the community themselves will actually be able to make that determination. Can we afford it, and is it worth our while to actually have control of maintenance of those roads?
Doesn't, or wouldn't, the responsibility and the liability follow the authority? Whose road is it? Who has the authority to say, you will do this or you'll widen that? And that's the one who's responsible for maintenance. And are we advocating surrendering ownership, title, et cetera? Is that what we're saying here? Or just upkeep?
Title. The road would be the responsibility of the community, the Category 3 road.
So they are
these
now,
are Category 3 roads which have a specific definition, you know, that for example, you'd have to be proactive to take it over. I'm trying to think of a location that might want to.
Frank, exactly. The other question is, aren't these roads...
I got a gravy train now.
These roads are being maintained by the state now, is that correct?
Yes, they are.
And it's costing the state money. I mean, the state's getting the revenue someplace. So if they were to transfer the responsibility as recommended here, would the state just gain that additional revenue they're now spending? I guess I'm just trying to figure out, why can't the state make the money available that it's currently spending to maintain those available to the local communities, just transfer responsibility?
And pay them the money, too?
Yeah.
I think it could, and I think those are the things that Sam's envisioning would be negotiated and have to be worked out. On the other hand, if I was sitting there in the position of responsibility in that case, like you said, why get off the gravy train and take that responsibility when the state now, because of the constitutional requirements and the rest of it, are going to have to come in here and do this road work for us? Why do we want to take it over and risk having to perhaps even tax ourselves to maintain some portion of it? But I think I think the recommendation we're looking at from our charge says this is a good thing to at least put on the table to talk about and see where the rub is.
Would you then establish standards to which that road had to be maintained? And if they didn't, what would be the penalty?
Well, the community would establish those standards. I guess Anchorage is maybe covered in the other. Actually, no, Anchorage might not be covered in the other one. But idea would be a road like DeArmond Road that is a state responsibility right now. And the goal would be that the municipality of Anchorage says, we'll take that over. And that's actually what the legislation Senator Torgerson is proposing does, is it provides incentives and opportunities for municipalities to assume ownership of those roads, and then they would maintain those roads.
I guess what I'm asking then, though, is let's say not DeArmond Road, let's take a smaller community where they're saying we don't have enough population base to take care of this. The funding you're giving us is inadequate to do it, and the road starts falling apart to the detriment of everybody in the state that drives down that road through that area.
Well, if you say that you're going to pay the local community at the same rate that the state is currently spending on the road,
then they have an obligation to maintain it for that
And this would be Category 3 roads, so you're not talking about like if Glen Allen wanted to take over the roads in Glen Allen that it doesn't have now, it wouldn't be that portion of the state highway.
What is Category 3?
Local roads. It's like a subdivision road, an arterial road.
An access road.
Not part of the state's highway system.
And if they let the road crumble, that's their problem. I mean, it's what happens if that kind of a road crumbles to the point it's a public endangerment?
You mean like actually, many of the roads are in Anchorage?
For example, would be downtown Fairbanks. And they're doing that, I think there are a lot of roads in downtown Fairbanks that they are not maintaining or upgrading. But the highways all around Fairbanks are in fairly good shape.
And that's true in Kenai as well.
Yeah.
We've had problems in Kenai with some of the access roads at the deteriorating to the point where school bus safety is questioned.
Yes.
And they're not state roads, and the municipal or the folks down there, have not ponied up to take care of.
Sam, do we need to indicate in the recommendation that title should pass, or are they not state roads? Are these Category 3 roads?
These are state roads. Maybe we ought to say something that we'd like the local community to take ownership of the
Why don't we just put transfer of ownership?
Ownership and responsibility?
Well, you transfer the ownership. As near as I can tell, you get the responsibility. You know, I don't own it anymore, Marco. You're going to have to change the oil now. I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll say ownership and maintenance. How's that?
Right.
So we'll say transfer ownership.
I guess it gets back to what the department's responsibility is, and whether or not they're supposed to be maintaining local roads as well as... If they're maintaining local roads, other communities might try and transfer the roads that they already have responsibility to, if that's part of the mission of the department. But I think the idea is that these roads were inherited by the state through past actions and not part of the highway system.
Well, and then there are examples all over town, the Armand, but there's some downtown. What is it, Arctic is... There are several of the major thoroughfares of this town that the state maintains, and then there are some that the city maintains, and there's no real rationale in terms of commerce or in terms of level of traffic, vehicular traffic, as to why one is a state and one is a local road.
I guess isn't that the basic problem, that consumers don't even know who the hell to call when they got a problem? They don't know if the state or municipality is running things.
Well, I wondered about that the first few times in the winter when I would drive down a street that had been plowed and was taken care of, but the berm went all the way across the cross street, and you know, the people there were stuck, you know, and the guy would say, well, that's not my problem, that's a state road, or opposite one was, well, that's not our problem, it's a municipality, hasn't been out and plowed it. No, the average citizen could care less. They want the roads plowed, they want them safe.
Right.
And they don't understand why the unions... You know, one union can go east-west and the other can go north-south, but they can't get them to go both directions.
Yeah, and then people don't know who to call. The consumer doesn't know who to call. It just wastes a lot of people's time. The bureaucracy is adding to the cost is what's happening.
And okay. Accountability, in a way.
Yeah.
Accountability gets...
You need responsibility, accountability, authority, and whatever the budget thing is, transferring from the state to the municipalities that... Then people can vote and know whether people are doing a good job or not. Single point of contact to call for things within their area.
Okay, I think we got that one nailed.
Number five. Establish local road districts for maintenance, operation, construction areas that have the ability to support service districts.
What gave rise to this?
I think discussion, wasn't there?
There was a recommendation that somebody had submitted.
I really think that it's kind of taken care of under four.
Well, I guess maybe...
Between three and... Well...
God, does DOT, does Seminole have local road service districts now, or and a municipality has them, but does the state
the boroughs or the local? I guess maybe the idea would be to try and help cover the non-organized areas. Boroughs without road powers have to establish local service areas in order to maintain or upgrade or collect revenue for roads. MATSU is doing that now. They've got local road service areas. And actually, Anchorage municipality does.
Yeah, they do. Potter Hill.
So I mean, local governments have them, but in the unorganized boroughs, you're saying that we should have DOT create LSRAs in the unorganized boroughs, so that why?
So that the local people contribute to the maintenance of those roads.
That would be one. The other would also be more local control of, even if it's state funding going to those areas, more local control of maintenance.
If we had an overarching principle here that's overarching recommendation that said that the department should adopt the policy that road maintenance should always devolve to the lowest level of government possible, that kind of...
Accountability as close as possible to the users.
Would that take care of this? Because this raises so many questions that I think a lot of people on the commission and the legislature wouldn't be sure about how local road service areas work, and we'd have to go in and really, you know, figure out that structure, and I don't know if it gets us anywhere.
I guess that would maybe be a recommendation of a policy statement. I think they could replace that as saying that road, maybe even ownership and maintenance responsibility would be the delegated or be the responsibility of the, I don't know what the term you used, Marco, I think it made the point pretty well, but
the most local governmental unit? Or?
Yeah, accountability as close to the user as possible. That's mainly. You want it so that they can call somebody locally to get it corrected.
And that's
as
true.
To somebody in Juneau.
And again, that leaves the highway, the main highway that goes through the town, legitimately the state's interest, and the roads that feed that highway out of the streets of neighborhoods or the roads in the town, the local interest.
Should we add a sentence that says the state should encourage the formation of local road service areas in the unorganized borough?
I guess I really don't know that well how it works.
Then let's not say anything about it.
Well, you could say use the word examine.
Yeah, I don't think telling them to study something gets us anything, actually. But
we can take it as a different item. I mean, rather than maybe being before.
Let me try to recast number five into this the overarching principle.
Right.
Devolving upon the local.
Number six: transfer airports to local port authorities or municipalities to the greatest extent possible.
Are we talking about a certain category of airports there, just rural, or talking
wherever
about
you've got communities that are willing to accept that responsibility? There's some that have the resources and the ability to do that. There are others that don't.
And the department's had this kind of a position for years. I mean, this kind of recommendation absolutely does nothing for me because the department has always, for both this and the harbors, has always had the position that if there's a community that wants that, they're more than willing to turn it over.
They don't, because there's no reason to take it over unless it's a moneymaker.
To say that to the extent possible they do it, I mean, it's nothing.
Well, why don't we just say transfer local or transfer airports to local port authorities or municipalities, period.
Is Bethel not a Bethel Dillingham, aren't they moneymakers yet? I should think they've reached the point where probably would make money.
On the maintenance cost up there, and I'm not sure.
I don't believe it. Nancy Slagle online?
Yes.
Nancy, do you know if any of these rural airports are making money, like Bethel, Dillingham, Kotzebue?
My understanding that none of them are making a profit. The only airport that we have that does make a profit is the Anchorage International Airport.
Nancy, let me ask you a question. If I'm a hunter from outside and through, I land at one of these airports, and through whatever fault, me and my passenger are killed, and the bereaved widow and her seven lawyers show up banging on the door, whose door do they bang on? State or the local?
I think Nancy's probably.
Yeah, that we do have claims that they are our airports. They are the responsibility, the liability responsibility for maintaining the runways and everything is ours. And so if there is something that you're right, they would come and knock on our doors.
Okay, now if we transferred them to we transfer all liability except that, right? Is that how that works?
We'd transfer that too. If they took over the airport, such as Ketchikan, for example, Ketchikan is, we have a contract with them. They run the airport, the city does, so that all of the responsibility is transferred to them for maintenance of it.
Do we own that airport?
Liability.
Does the state still own the Ketchikan?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, Juneau's a municipal airport, and Sitka's gone back and forth. What's the status with Sitka now?
Sitka is a state-run airport. The city was running it under a contract such as Ketchikan, but a few years ago they gave it back to the state, that it wasn't making enough money for them.
So if any city can't do anything successfully, they turn it back over to the state, hoping
lovely
the state
deal
pays for everything.
Yeah,
it kind of works out that way.
Well, I guess that's the thing. Is that what everything in life that's unsuccessful, you're supposed to turn the state to have them pay for it? Why are we in the airport business?
Well, you know, the argument, of course, is that that's one of those subsidized things in terms of a transportation infrastructure that the state is supposed to do.
I think if we were comparing Alaska with other places, we already see that, you know, other states and other areas are not doing it that way.
Well, and it's true, too, is you also have to look at, well, where is the revenue coming from that is paying for these things? Because even when something's subsidized, and you hear this a lot about roads and other things, money's coming from somewhere.
Right.
It's generated from taxes. That's the only place the federal government gets money. And so there is a user or a payer somewhere there that has taken it out of their pocket and given it to the government. Then how it's redistributed is the question. And who's getting a disproportional amount given what other folks are getting in terms of that subsidy? I'm pretty sure that, you know, we need to maintain airports in different areas as a state function. The question is, do they have to be open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year? Do they have to be maintained with certain amenities, et cetera, et cetera? That's where you really get into a question of policy.
Right.
Is there some federal funding that might be available to a state-owned operated airport as opposed to a locally operated airport?
I mean, same funding.
We save FAA a lot of work because they just deal with the state instead of having to deal with a bunch of local governments, I guess.
Well, and it may be more efficient that way. I mean, who knows? Again,
lots of problems associated with airports, but one of the biggest problems why rural communities won't ever want an airport is there's no fee structure at rural airports.
Right.
There's nothing that says you have to pay anything when you land there.
Well, didn't DOT come up with a fee structure for rural airports? Where is that sitting now, Nancy?
What happened, I guess, is there was legislation that passed, and I don't know when it expires, but it prohibits the state from collecting landing fees because of some other provision. But
I think Alex Miller, that was one of the last things Alex said.
Well, I think the argument was because of the fuel taxes that are paid, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know the dollars and cents of that argument, but it is similar in some to some extent for the reason that we would resist, as highway users, toll roads. In other words, we feel like we're already paying for the roads, and now you want to put a toll on it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that that's kind of the rationale. Eliminate our highway taxes that we pay and our registration fees that we pay, and then charge us tolls on the roads that we only use on a per mile basis. That's a different story. But, you know, right now that's a tough area to deal in, and I don't know whether this should be in here as a recommendation or how it should be worded.
Does the department want to chime in on that? You got any recommendations on this recommendation, Nancy?
I believe that we work towards transferring harbors and airports wherever we possibly can. We work with some local communities. Some of the rural airports are looking at taking over ownership, specifically when there is some type of a control issue. I know that there's some of the local smaller communities are looking at it. I don't know. I think Quingilligoth or one of those is looking at doing that. We've in the last couple of years we've transferred about 3 ports. We've received monies from the legislature to bring the ports up to a certain level and have transferred those to local communities. So we continue to work on that.
Yeah, I think it's something that you, in fact, I heard rumored that the commissioner carries quick claim deeds in his back pocket. And if anyone wants, anyone in the municipality or any of these ports are wanting to take it over, he can do a deal right on the spot.
So I don't know that we would need this in there even as a recommendation. This is something where the department was recognized a long time ago, that if they get rid of these, this is a well to their advantage. It's a headache out of their...
The only airport that I ever knew of that was close to something that should have been transferred because it had money coming in was like Dead Horse, I think. Okay.
Of course, then if it's making money, the state doesn't want to transfer it because they're making money on it.
I think the problem is that although the state doesn't necessarily want to hang on to these, they're really not doing anything to get rid of them. I mean, there's been no concerted effort. There's been no study. I think if you brought in some big eight accounting firm and some airport management company, they might come up with a...
All right, can we just put the sentence in that transfer airports to local port authorities or municipalities, period. The rationale, to have the local beneficiaries pay for the infrastructure. Or responsible for the maintenance and operation of the infrastructure.
Would you then also, though, then give them the revenue that's being spent currently?
Let's take yours up before you go.
To the extent that it's federal money, I think it needs to be passed through. To the extent that it's general fund money, I think that decision would be made in the appropriations process.
Don't hang on. Okay. See what you want.
You know?
My daughter and her husband live at Lake Minchuman, for example. I think of that. They maintain airport. And if they had to take it over locally, it probably wouldn't
happen. It'd kill you.
Yeah.
I mean,
too small a community.
The community of Flat has had an airport and roads for years, and the miners maintain both, although the state in recent years did give them some money for maintenance from the airport.
They got the gold, though.
Some years they do, some years they don't.
Well, you see, that's the reason it's still a community and not a ghost town.
True.
Well, it doesn't hurt anything just to keep this recommendation there.
Yeah, I think
all
that's
right.
Sure.
To the greatest extent. Yeah, so.
The same thing with 7, then. Number 8, increase state gas tax from the current, it should be 8 cents a gallon.
Mr. Chairman, I have to go. I've got other commitments, and I'd sure like to...
Let's go to 23, then.
Yeah.
23.
Is that the first one you wanted to talk about, or is there one before that, Steve?
I'm just trying to pick the one that I
have. 23 was the one entitled Internal and External Audits.
Right. And what concerns me is, this is a good recommendation. There's nothing wrong with that one. What concerns me is that from a state equipment fleet perspective, we have what was a very significant audit that was never addressed by the department. For us to ignore that and make a recommendation like this, there's no penalty forever not addressing an audit. The department doesn't take responsibility. They don't like. And I just think it's... if we can't make such a recommendation regarding the state equipment fleet audit and that it should be either one, addressed by the department, or two, revisited by the agencies that I suggested, a combination of OMB, legislative audit, and their own internal auditors, then we shouldn't make any recommendation at all.
Refresh my memory. We asked the department about this in writing, and they gave us something back in writing, didn't they?
I don't recall about that, Marco, but I missed the last meeting, so I'm not sure what you got in the last meeting.
I remember getting something from Parkin that responded to your letter.
I recall something to that effect, and it explained that it hadn't been signed off on by...
I considered it not a final audit.
Not a final audit. It hadn't been signed off.
Like 3 years later.
Yeah. And, of course, yeah. That was the problem. If they don't sign off on it, then it kills it.
Yeah. And so there's no... That's the problem I have with, you know, somebody really putting a lot of work into something like that internal to the organization that has lots of good management points in it. We see no action.
I'm trying to think of is, look, if it's an internal audit, the auditor works for the commissioner, right?
Right.
In fact, I know a guy that used to have that.
Right.
So the commissioner gets to decide if he wants to take his staff's advice on this or not. He may not.
That could be his decision.
Yeah, and it might be bad management not to.
Right.
But, you know, we're not in the business of penalizing bad management, though I wish I was.
No, we can be, but that's at a higher at a higher level of responsibility.
I don't know what his decision was.
I suspect that if there were a lot of things in there that were really going wrong, that he probably is corrected it. But why not tell us about
it? The inaction is a decision in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to get
for in their own procedures, though, you see.
Well,
anyway, my point here is that on the state equipment fleet, there was a lot of good information there that somebody should have addressed. Now, they either, one, need to address what they did or didn't do about that, or two, revisit the subject again, is my suggestion on the state equipment fleet. There were several significant cost-saving features that were outlined in that audit. The one that I recommended that with regards to their own standard specifications for construction, that the contractors were required to provide a vehicle to the project manager the department doesn't use. We all know there's a fleet of vehicles sitting out there right now with snow on them that the only time they get used is during the summer. Why can't they have the contractor supply that? It's federally funded. You could do it on a leasing basis, and that vehicle could continue to be used.
Now, don't we have that recommendation in here?
It's not in here the way I wrote it up. But,
the vehicles?
Right.
Well, I think we should put that one in. Actually, I think last week it did come up, and somebody said they didn't think the dollars involved in that were great enough to worry about. And I think that was...
go take some pictures for you.
I'm probably talking about, 40, 50 vehicles?
Yeah.
So maybe it is.
Anyway,
we'll put it back in.
My pitch for that, because that I consider to be... significant issue that this committee looked into, and I'd like to recommend that we get an answer on that audit, or that audit be revisited on the state equipment fleet because of the potential savings that it alluded to.
Maybe there should be, Steve, a periodic external audit reviewing the internal audits and procedures that have been implemented or not from those findings.
I agree. OMB and legislative audit, either one of those could do such a review. I think that...
Is there a name or a date for that audit? Did we actually identify that audit by...
there's a number of them.
Yeah, there was specific information related to that.
So you want a recommendation that says that audit should be responded to.
Right.
In writing.
Yes. Okay. And
the rest of you...
That's my main.
Never mind.
I
don't have it here. Never mind. So
the last one on 25, where we call for a 10-year review, is a little too long. I think every 4 years, when we change administrations, they should have another visit on that. 25.
Number 25. Make that 4 years.
Yeah. We all know that things change every time you get an administration.
Tom, what do you think about that? Having a professional equipment management firm do a review every so many years. How many years should that be?
That's a difficult question. It depends a lot on other outsourcing things people are looking at, including. The biggest thing a lot of the equipment's being used for is the maintenance and repairs, for example, of the highway system.
What we're talking about here is how often should you have an external review by somebody who's a consultant in your business to come in and say, look, here's how you're running the state equipment fleet. We think you need. We're going to reevaluate this. You ought to make some changes. I mean, if you do it every 4 years, it seems to me you're going to be in a constant state of flux.
Yeah, I.
What about change?
I think what might make an overall sense is that everybody has talked about you know, British Columbia, different things, different reviews and stuff. You know, what might be an interesting thing is to have a person with, you know, a lot of external experience and some other state efforts take a look at the whole process and do that relatively soon. As far as an external review, I think we might get the biggest bang for somebody that's actually gone through whatever the good, the bad, the ugly has been with any of these other privatization efforts, as far as what are service requirements, how do you go ahead, break groups up, whether it's airports, highways, whatever it is, and that would be something I think would be of the biggest value as far as an external review.
So you would suggest that we go ahead and do one now as opposed to recommending that we do one every so often kind of thing?
Well, I think you have any you know, immediate situation that it would be nice to have somebody take a look at the situation, I think, after that.
Okay.
You know, it's very, very tough to say how often you want to review a particular, you know, aspect of your activity. First thing you need
well,
to decide
it gives you
what
a benchmark.
Activity you're involved in.
This gives you a benchmark as a starting place, and if this thing turns out to be just a fantastically horrible circumstance, then I would think they're going to want to have them real quick. If it came out to be everything was slick and perfect, then they'd say, well, geez, we only maybe need to do this every 10 years or 6 years or 5 years.
Well, I guess maybe what I was just saying might have been another recommendation if anybody wanted to consider it was, just, does it make sense to have somebody that was you know, involved in these privatization efforts in, you know, pick a place, we've talked about a number of them, have a external independent review of, you know, the Alaska situation and what areas may make sense, then limit the review to a particular thing. It could be highways, it could be ferries, it could be whatever, and, you know, see what somebody's coming up with.
Well, yeah, you're on a whole different plane. And as a matter of fact, you know, virtually I think every committee so far, we've had four committees report, and every one of them recommended an audit of the department. That they say, look, we can't get into this enough. We think you ought to have a, you know, an independent audit done. I mean, so, which
well,
really...
I'm sure they'd love to see me come around and do another audit. You know, I'll volunteer.
okay. Well, I would say for number 25, while Steve is here, we'll say immediately... And at least every X years, I 10 is close enough to me because again, you don't want the organization to be constantly undergoing flux. When you consider it's never been done,
right?
How about if we
once
said,
a decade would be plenty?
How about if we said 8 as a compromise? Because
cool.
if we started this next one, you know, if it went immediately, you've got a change of administrations. The next administration could only last 8 years.
I'll buy 8.
See, that now that makes sense, because presumably with the change of administration, you'd have a change, you could potentially have a new commissioner.
Yeah, it might be 4 years.
It would give him a map of where he's at.
Now, on the other hand, we have had as many as 3 commissioners during one four-year. four-year.
The defense rep.
I think,
so, and then,
by the way, Deputy Commissioner Parkin has joined us. Kurt, come on up to the table. Does he have a fact?
I'm sorry, Marco, and... Chairman, I had a prior commitment.
No problem.
Yeah, we're just very informal, Kurt. We're going through these recommendations one by one and just talk about how we're finding them. She's got a packet for you.
Great. Sorry, I wasn't able to get here earlier.
Actually, we
in between meetings.
So we've lost.
You guys are on your sort of deliberation process now anyway.
Well, we would appreciate any input that you want to provide or can. And like I said, we have been just, Nancy's been on... in Juneau, listening and helping, and we pretty much ignored her until we got to tough stuff. But
yeah, let's bring our next recommendation is you should give Nancy a raise.
Yeah, we've decided that she should have a raise. We wanted to go from 8 cents an hour to a 20 cent an hour increase.
That's
to be used for maintenance, Nancy.
That's right next to the recommendation that all state employees should take a pay cut or something. That I mean, in every meeting so far, there's been some. Some comment about the high wages of state employees. And, you know, that has changed so much over just the last decade, according to studies that I've seen. In fact, I just asked OMB for information on that yesterday because it came up. And the latest information I've seen is the federal employees are outpacing state employees significantly.
They hit their
and the private sector is a large measure caught
up. Being a Fed employee in this state is a gravy train.
25%.
Well, that too.
I mean, it could be hard work, but it's still a very well paid and well benefited.
Yeah.
Number 8, increase the state gas tax from the current, it should be
7.
It's 8 cents.
What happened to number 7?
We decided it was okay because it's basically the same thing we did in 6, just dealing with the courts. 8 cent a gallon to 20 cent a gallon and earmark the revenue for only maintenance of state road system with some sharing to local. I have some problems with the language in this, but I think the intent's good. And I'm not so sure that 20 cents is a magic figure. Maybe it should be 21 or 24.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the basic question. You know, if you're talking about, you know, something going up 2.5 times relatively quickly, you're talking about a phased-in approach over years, something going immediately. How much additional revenue does that raise?
Raises about $4 million a penny, I think.
How do you relate this to privatization? Another one of those budget issues that
in terms of privatization, I don't think it has any relationship to it because if the money was being spent by the state or spent by private entities, it doesn't make any difference. And it begs the question we also discussed earlier as to, is the funding adequate or not? Well, that's not what we're necessarily looking at. We're looking at, given the funding they have, is it being spent the most efficient way that it can? And is privatizing aspects of how the money they have available now is to be spent, giving us more bang for the buck. What we're trying to steer away from, Kurt, is the business of, is it enough money? Because that's a debatable question. Given that you have so much money, how can we maximize the utility of that money in the public's interest? That's what we're trying to focus on, right? So this doesn't even belong in here.
Right.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that's true because rhetorically. If you want to turn over some of these facilities to private and/or to local communities, you're still going to have to give them some money. And if this were, and we're always in the problem of never having enough money for road maintenance, and this is going to, I think that it deserves to be in here because everybody would rather brush it off because nobody wants it. And I think you need more money, but it needs to be dedicated for road maintenance. Dedicated, not just put in the general fund. And until you get this passed with legislation, you're not going to have enough money for maintenance because it always gets put somewhere else.
Yeah,
I think that that echoes what we've advocated for 10 years in terms of being the only state trucking association in the United States that's